I didn't record any of that. I should have done, shouldn't I? That's a shame.
Probably not.
Yeah.
That's just
no says the pussy right from Yorkshire drinking American water. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yeah, it's here to discuss the big stories in tech. All the stuff that's gone on that's not Apple based, but is tech based. And what a week it's been, because it's been sod all. Poor old Carl Swagger's been doing the news show all week, and I'm gobsmacked that he's pushed out four shows. He always misses Thursday because he's stuck in a traffic jam. But the other weeks, he pushes it out no problem. But this week, oh man, it's been light. But discussing the week's tech with a fantastic panel is the job that we have in hand. And I'm sure we will vary from topics to try and fill out the time, as we did a few weeks ago. Starting us off, Camps.
Good evening.
Where's the rest of you, mate?
I know.
How much have you done?
It's about last week I got weighed and I dropped 11.5 pounds at that point. I've been averaging about 2.5 pounds a week and got weighed this week, so I'm expecting to pretty much hit the stone now.
Well, you weren't a lardy boy to start with, were you?
I'm not a lardy boy, I had a belly. I'm cut out the bad snacking.
Are you back to your rugby weight yet?
Not far off. Rugby weight was about 15, just over 15. So now I've got a little bit to go to get there, but... yeah, cut out the bad snacking and been running three, four times a week now. Getting back into that, enjoying it.
Rugby weights the mark, mate.
Yeah,
definitely.
Probably another couple of months before I get there.
Oh, I'm about 10 years away from my rugby mark, I think.
Yeah, I'm doing good.
I'm 20 years in the other direction, back to when I was playing. Yeah. But well done, mate. Congratulations.
Cheers.
As the wee man, he's got chicken pox.
He's got chicken pox, yeah. Seth's got chicken pox, so he's not a happy chap right now. And the little girl's got a stomach bug. It's been a fun couple of days in the Campion household.
Well, it's been a year, mate, of illness with your missus and all that kind of stuff, hasn't it? So,
yeah, fingers crossed we're on the way out of it now. And, yeah, we've got a holiday in a few weeks' time. Hopefully everything will be cleared up. We can go have a rest.
Are you sure you haven't lost the weight just because you're sick and haven't noticed?
No, I need to get bikini ready for my holidays, that's what it is.
Is that really?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I've just got a picture in my head I can't get rid of now.
Good, that'll stay with you.
Oh, bugger. Next to him, talking of mankinis, Jeffrey.
You did get the mankini photo I sent you, right?
Cheers, mate. It's St. Patrick's Day, and I'm sure it's all bubbling over there with all the people in America claiming to be Irish that aren't.
St. Patrick's Day is such a weird thing here in the United States. Everyone decides they're Irish for a day. They have no idea what that means. They put on something green and they get lit and make really stupid life choices.
That's okay.
I don't know. Maybe that is Irish. I don't know.
But the thing is, was it for you? Is it 2 o'clock in the afternoon there?
Yes.
So you're drinking?
So I'm having my single malt for the show.
Good man.
And then when we're done and I can wrap up for the day, I'm walking over to my favorite pub and I'll have some more proper Irish whiskey over there.
But Bronwyn says that she's thinking of Jeff in a mankini. So I'm guessing she slipped off the chair by now.
That's okay. You just keep thinking away.
Joining me in the studio after a long journey from Cornishland, and it hasn't said, you've got to turn the audio down, dude, otherwise it's not going to work. It's Ian Lewis, the man who does the photo show with me. Now, you never see him in front of the camera, but he's the one that does the doc most weeks and puts more effort into it by far than I do. How you doing, mate?
Very well.
I've sorted the camera out. There we go. How was the journey up from Cornwall?
It was very good. We stopped at Bristol Zoo on the way. And
that's so random.
I know. A couple of hours with the camera
was
very good.
But you said Bristol Zoo was really good.
It was. For the money, it wasn't a lot to get in, but it was good.
What did you see?
Silverback gorillas. Really close.
Really?
Yeah, it was really good.
And here you are seeing another.
True.
No, I'll take it. It's fine. What else is at Bristol Zoo that's worth seeing? Apart from you?
No, that was about it.
And you've come up to Birmingham for?
The photography show.
Yeah, which is at the NEC. First one?
first one, bit of B10 coverage, hopefully.
Oh, do it, mate. Take loads of pictures and take
we'll get some updates on the website.
Brilliant. Yeah, no. In that case, I think it's brilliant you're here. Otherwise, I'm not a great fan of expos, I have to say, but...
Yeah, it should be good. See lots of things that I can't afford.
But... Well, that's true. Well, that's why I don't go anymore, I think. It's kind of like, I know what I've got that shoots what I need, so why go and see an expo?
But it should be good. And the other reason was come and see you and having a curry.
Too right. We've had a curry this evening, and it was a damn fine curry. Mm. And now you're on the tee.
Yeah.
We've totally plumped him out with two beers. Poor lad. Look at this. See, the thing is, with the picture that we've got in front of us, you can see the BMI between him and Muller. No, don't breathe in, Muller. which person is affected most severely by small amounts of alcohol? Just a little. Based on the fact we've had four Guinnesses before we went for a curry. And joining us as well is Muller. How you doing, mate? In your Guardian of the Galaxy t-shirt from Tesco's.
£8.
Is that your pick of the week?
No.
Oh, okay, good. Thank God for that. What have you been up to, pal?
Not a lot, actually.
You went to see Righty Boy last week, didn't
I
you?
I saw Righty Boy, yeah.
He's off this week, but yeah. He do be back next week. You took him a Mac Mini over, didn't you?
I did. He would not let me see Hot Boss. I was
really?
No.
Oh, that's not cool.
It wasn't cool. And then he said...
Well, are you sure? He just wouldn't let Hot Boss see you.
That might be true.
That might
with that kind of figure, mate. Yeah. Could have driven round the edge.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
She would have been all over me, which...
Absolutely. Yeah, righto. the thing is that Muller took the Mac Mini. So you remember the Mac wall that we used to have before everyone kindly donated to the Mac Mini Fund and we bought a new wall? Well, one of the old Mac Minis I sent over to Ricey so that he could use it to do the show that he wants to do. And he got it over there and plugged in. It doesn't work. So we need to find a way of getting that fixed. So I do apologise.
You could take it to an Apple store. They might fix it.
Deep Pads put in the chat room, has Star-Lord let himself go a bit?
Oh, man. Oh, Jesus. Some of my schoolmates might be watching this. I'll get this tomorrow, won't I?
I was going to, Swampwatt's talking about wearing something green. I was going to wear green today because then I would have disappeared entirely, but I couldn't find a green t-shirt anywhere. So there we go.
Now, see, I'm not wearing green because I don't know if this is a tradition for St. Patrick's Day for you guys, but here, if you're not wearing green, you're supposed to get a little pinch or a spank. So I'm intentionally not wearing green.
Jeff's
called gaming the system.
Can I just point out that you're sat in a house by yourself drinking whiskey with a blind cat and you're worried about not getting a spank?
Soon. and then I can with my green on.
Let's get this party started. The Week in Tech, what's going on, what's been big, what's been happening, all the things that you thought you should talk about, but we haven't. I found a video today of the people that are doing like the autonomous drone taxi cab thing, and I watched the video and I looked at it, I was like, no one's got in that yet, have they? Because it was flying, don't get me wrong, but there was no way that anyone was in there alive. I just thought that'd be interesting because Jeffrey picked that the other week, didn't he? Who's got the first story for us? Who's going to tell us what's the big thing that's gone on? Campion was fast fingers there. Well done, Ian. Not bad from an iPad. I've got to say, actually...
He's going to go first, hasn't he?
All right, okay. we're going to go with Ian because he's just posted that like a millisecond behind Camps, and Camps is on a desktop. And Ian, you're on an iPad Pro. Mm,
I am.
That's impressive, mate.
And it's not
Google's new
story.
Encoder makes JPEGs 35% smaller. Talk us through it, mate.
So, yeah, there's a new open source JPEG encoder from Google. I can't pronounce what it's called. GUETZLI. It's Swiss-German for cookie, apparently.
Because Google are crap at picking names for things, aren't they?
It's not the best name, is it?
You look at their OSs for Android phones.
For junk food.
They're all shit. Yeah. A KitKat was the only one that was decent.
So according to Google, it can create high quality JPEG images with file sizes 35% smaller than currently available methods. So obviously the photographer in me was interested in that. And then when you read the story, they've got a cat's eye as an example. So the left one is uncompressed, the middle one is standard JPEG encoder, and then the right one is this new Google encoder. And
I'd just like to point to everyone that's watching the video and say I'm desperately trying to find the picture that I've just slid across onto the desktop, but I can't find this on anything to show you this very thing. But go on, carry on here.
So the right one is the new encoder. My first thoughts are straight away it's the colours are washed out on it. It doesn't look particularly great. And my other thought process was, you know, JPEG's already compressed enough. Do we need another 35%? And I know there's the need for, you know, my mobile data, but yeah. Do we really need it?
I mean, the
Getsley.
Eh?
Getsley.
What does that say? Yes, Lee.
That's what it's called.
Getsley.
Getsley.
Getsley. G-U-E-T-Z-L-I. Swiss German for cookie. It
says it's Luxembourg, actually, but...
Getsley. All right, thanks, mate. Okay. Got it.
Okay, so I'm interested in this also because of my graphic design background.
Yeah.
And I remember when JPEG 2000 came out. That was supposed to be the new thing that was going to revolutionize image compression because it's so much... And that just fizzled out. And now this Getsley, I look at it and I think, okay, well, that's promising because it's it gives us better compression with less artifacting, smaller file sizes. And to me, it sounds like we're doing JPEG 2000 all over again, just with new algorithms.
I was going to say, everyone remembers JPEG 2000, which was the next progression to JPEG, which did... For Joel.
Right. So Google giving us a new JPEG algorithm is great, assuming they can actually get people to delete it. That was the problem with JPEG 2000. No one used it, so it just didn't catch on. And I just look at this and I'm like, okay, that's a great technology demonstration, and no one's going to use it. So that it's in Photoshop by default, so that it's supported by every web browser. It just doesn't matter.
I mean, I would go back to, I mean, JPEG 2000 is a great example of the fact of this was the next evolution of JPEG and no one liked it and no one used it and no one encoded for it and no one wrote programs that would use it and it died a death, yet it's still in Photoshop. I would also suggest that progressive JPEG is another example of where actually you still maintain the JPEG integrity, but progressive JPEG just gave you shit loads of problems because it maintained layer data. It didn't work in photo frames. If you go back to the period when it was first invented as well as, it was an absolute abomination. So unless this algorithm converts back and saves as JPEG with equivalent quality, I don't see where the point is in upgrading from the current JPEG process. And from what Ian's just showed us there, and I've got the picture finally, here we go, if you're watching on video, in terms of compression, it's clearly compressed it further. So Photoshop can make your JPEG 35% shittier. No, it's true. That's all it's done.
Yeah, it looks like there's a little less artifacting around the eye with the what they call it, Stritzel, Getsel. But
I don't see that. I mean, if you look at the eye, the slash on the eye, it's
look at the white detail around the eye. That's what I'm talking about. The white area around the eye. So if you look at the uncompressed image, it's relatively smooth around the eye, or the outside of the eye. On the standard JPEG, you see a lot of artifacting in the white. And then in the Getsel version, you see less artifacting. So that's nice, but it I don't think it matters.
So you
I don't think people are going to care.
I'm reading the thing just to make sure I'm looking at the right one. So if you look at the uncompressed original on the left, standard JPEG encoder is in the middle, and the right one is the Gutzel one.
Gertzley.
It's added some detail in the white on the reflection in the top of the eye, and it's. Here's what I'm thinking, Jeff, and tell me you think I'm talking out my arse. It's all right. I'll totally accept it. I think it's manufactured the detail in the lower part of the white and in the white flash at the top. I don't think it's seen detail there. I think it thinks there should be detail there.
Huh.
Now, that's okay, and I think that's good. Don't get me wrong. But the only thing that I've got with manufacturing processes is, and this is like the auto process that you get in Photoshop, you know, if you do auto levels, it's all well and good. But if it doesn't do it exactly what you want, and you look at the image and go, no, that's not right, I want to go back. But it hasn't given you any clues as to what it did so that you know how to get back to that.
Yeah.
That level. And I just...
No, you may be right. I don't think you're talking out of your ass on this one.
I'm fine if I am. It's okay. I do it regularly.
It's
on this one, gents. What I suppose I'm a bit lost. You know, what's the benefit of using by 35% in that? We live in a world where data speeds are getting faster, whether that be 4G, whether it be Wi-Fi. We're all looking at devices that have got more storage space. Websites, in my view, or certainly the websites that I've been on, unless they've got crappy ads running on them, or it's a badly rendered website anyway, they don't load at too bad a speed. And I think 35% reduction on what's already a relatively small file type, is it really a big deal, this?
I think I've got an answer to that.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It's mobile, isn't it?
Especially in the United States, where we face ridiculous data caps for our wireless plans all the time.
It's basically mobile, isn't it? You're spending money on data, and it also takes time to load up. And also, we've got data caps in the day. We haven't got unlimited data, so 35%. It's a bit of a saving, isn't it?
Yeah, but from a JPEG, 35% on what is already small file size. I see that in terms of if there was some sort of encoding benefits to video or to music and streaming and things like that. But on JPEGs, they're already fairly small file sizes.
Yeah, you're not just polishing a turd.
Yeah.
I think this is part of Google's bigger plan. And what Google's trying to do is help with their own... Well, not trying. They're creating their own system for creating websites that favors extremely small downloads. And so creating their own graphic format that can be smaller than a comparable JPEG today totally plays into that. And so my guess is at some point they'll try and push this as a standard by weighting searches against sites that aren't using their graphic format.
Oh, Jesus. That's Machiavellian.
Oh, yeah.
That is, So if you're using our compression format for your images, then we'll give you higher search rankings than if you're not.
Mm. It would surprise me to see that happen.
Bloody hell, I hadn't thought of that bit. Yeah. There's a comments in the chat room here that talk about the effective economy of scales here, and they're saying, you think how many server rooms Google can save on if there's 35% less data? And that's where the real benefit is. There is massive economies of scale with this. 35% less rooms is 35% less rooms. The only thing I'd say is, the other thing I thought about is if I was creating an image for a client for the website, for their website, I would deliberately shrink it to something that's incredibly small. I'd very harshly sharpen it to try and then get that to increase the crispness of the edges. And I'd give them a small edge, small image in the first process, but that would be a process they would pay me to do, whereas this is an algorithm that does it automatically from an existing image. Therefore, as an automated process, that would save them huge amounts of time and effort and money.
Would it also save on battery power in your mobile device?
No.
Why not? It's loading time, processing time to put the image in place. If it's smaller, it's not going to take so long to load.
I don't think that's going to. That's not going to save you in terms of battery, though, is it? In terms of load time. Well, if you're
doing intensive, you know, pictures on a website.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at your screen, okay, would you be looking at the screen for longer, therefore your screen would be open for longer by the time you'd finished reading the article? Well, yeah, but it's not going to be 35%. It's not going to be a tangible variance, is it?
Yeah, over a lot of pictures, though, over a significant time.
And your screen would shut down whether the page is loaded or not in terms of timing, so, you know, that doesn't change.
Yeah, if you're like me, though, you keep on...
I don't think it's going to change battery power. I think it's purely data, and I think Sachs in the chat room saying about how many server rooms Google are going to save on with 35% less data, that makes more sense. And in terms of it, in terms of the purist's image quality, Ian, you know, you're looking at it from a photographer's viewpoint, same as me, and I don't want my images 35% less pretty. So
there you go. Yeah.
Are they 35% less pretty though?
Well. If you, I can't see that there can't be some loss in this. I think you're going to get corruptions.
I can't see much difference, to be fair.
Well, has anyone processed an image through?
Show me a proper image, not one of these close-up ones.
Definitely some colour loss there.
Minimal, though, isn't it? Over.
If you're talking about the fact that it's viewable, I don't disagree with you. I think you're right, Muller. What does it matter? But if you're talking about the fact of what you shot is what you show, it definitely matters because there is colour loss there. I think there's a manufactured...
Definite colour loss.
I think it's a manufactured detail within the stuff that's in that image. And I don't think that you necessarily you're certainly not improving the image. You're only reducing the amount of data. You look at all the reds. The reds have gone from the top left of the eye completely.
Look at the bottom of the eye too.
Yeah, that's washed out.
It's the... totally washed out. Yeah.
I think
all washed out, aren't they? That's a JPEG image, the other side. So,
No. There is manufactured detail as far as I see that image. That's my personal view. I think it's an algorithm which is designed to look at something, create detail where there isn't detail. It's nothing different from kind of like edge finding or sharpening that would take place, perhaps, in the image. But it's... It's not going to maintain. It's purely maintaining stuff for the web. It's not maintaining it for artistic integrity, not by any stretch. It's not a 35%. It's not an equivalent image, and it's not. But is it 35% less quality? I don't think it is. It's probably 5% less quality. So as a payoff between the two, it works. Is that right? Does that work? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I just want to say as well, I woke up the other night, and do you remember the conversation we had about 8 months ago? No. And I'm glad Jeff's on. About 8 months ago, we had a conversation about whether it was GIF or GIF.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And you said, the bloke that came up with the term actually said it's GIF, so therefore it must be GIF.
So it's not GIF.
And I woke up the other night thinking... he's just being a cock, because he realises everyone's going, is it GIF or JIF, realising that graphic interchange format begins with a G, so he's just said it just to be obtuse. It's GIF. Everyone knows that. And I went to sleep after I thought that, so there you go. I think he just said it to be a cock.
No, I may very well be a cock, but no. That was actually true.
No, the bloke that invented it was being a cock, is what I'm saying. I think he said it. Because everyone goes, is it GIF or GIF? And he went, well, it's graphics interchange format. What are you expecting me to say? I'll tell you what, I'll make the opposite up, because then it'll be like, oh, you morons. There you go. That's what I thought about. And I woke up, and I was lying awake for an hour, and I thought, no, I've cracked it. And then I went back to sleep.
So is it raw?
No, it's GIF. It's a freaking GIF. Raw. And he was being a dick. There we go. I've rationalised it in my own mind. The rest of you, you're wrong.
And, you know, and basically what it comes down to is, since there's no law about this, say it any way you like and just own it, and that's fine.
No. There's a law, but it's my law.
Oh.
Now.
Okay, so you can choose to follow Yoon's law or not.
This is
what's wrong with between Americans and English. Swamp Rat in the chat room says Jif is a peanut butter, and it's not. It's lemon juice.
It's toilet cleaner. It's bathroom cleaner.
No, they don't do that anymore now. It's Silit Bang, isn't it?
But that explains why your lemonade tastes so weird.
Yeah, and I still want a marathon, not a Snickers. It? Yeah,
and Tiff's a motor racing driver.
Not a very good one though.
Oh, I don't care.
Okay, good story. We got way more out of that than I thought we were going to. 25 minutes of conversation. Jeez. Well done.
Rob, the Jif versus Jif discussion.
No, we're not doing that.
we finished it, so we're good.
We're good. Yeah. World according to ranking, we're now sorted. Sony's giant motion sensing dome will make you want to watch 360 videos, says Camps.
Yeah, so you're right. Very slow news week this week.
Yeah.
South by Southwest. Sony this week in the Wow Factory exhibition have unveiled their 360 dome technology that they're looking. Well, I suppose they're trialing it. It's just beyond concept now from the articles that I'm reading. And ultimately, what this appears to be is a big tent with two blended 4K projections on there, blended to the point to give you the full 360 and reading the articles, the two projectors overlap without any real obvious signs that they're overlapping. And the idea being that you can sit there in the middle, look up, and without the need to have any goggles or anything like that, have a relatively immersive 360 experience. And I think I was reading this and thinking to myself, Gimmick all over it. It screams another 3D TV type scenario. But then when I'm thinking a little bit more about it and reading a couple more articles, it kind of sprung out to me that maybe this is it's almost like the 360 without the goggles, without the motion sickness type scenario. And I just thought it looks like another interesting way of using 360 in immersive, gaming. Or I can imagine... I think it was in this particular story where they said, you know, it could be in a bike, essentially on a stationary bike, cycling, playing a game, looking around you or steering, leaning into corners like that, and getting some sort of 360 immersive experience for it. And I was thinking, I've never liked the goggle scenario. We've talked several times about at the Bash year before last about the goggles, and I've used cardboard, and I've never really got into the 360 goggles scenario, but I quite like the sound of this.
I don't... if you're sat still and looking at a half dome, I don't see how it's 360. I'm being a bit stupid.
No, I think it's full dome, so I think you can turn around in it, look up, look round. No, you're right, half dome in that you can't look down.
You see this oval that's in front of you, and then you steer to move left or right.
Yes, is how I'm reading it.
It's not like you can look anywhere instantly and it moves, so...
No, you're almost just looking like... So I don't know where this is going, I don't know what the use is, and I don't know what Sony are really thinking about here, other than it's 360.
I think Sony might be doing a proof of concept thing and just feeling out what the reaction is by showing it off at South by Southwest.
Okay.
Is that how South by Southwest then works then? Is that a bit of a, let's throw the ideas out there, get some feedback and...
Let me go to Ian, because I'm going to come back with a point about South by Southwest in a bit, but go on in.
I was just wondering, at what point do you feel the need to get up out of your chair? Because what you've seen, you think, oh, I need to get up, and then
from what I've seen, I don't think it's all,
doesn't work.
Then. Good point.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure for me, I'd have that need to get up and get out of the chair immediately and go do something else.
Yeah, you might well be right.
I'm kind of a prick today, aren't I?
No, that's fine. You're just taking over from me. I get to be the nice guy today. In terms of good tech, bad tech, we swap roles.
Okay.
You're normally really positive, but clearly, because you're on your own drinking in your own home, you're pissy. It's all right.
Yeah, there we go.
Campion's drinking. Why are you laughing, Campion? Jesus.
He's not drinking.
When this story was put in, the first thing I thought to myself was, has South by Southwest become a bit passé? Because it really is. When I first remember watching the coverage of South by Southwest, it was kind of hip. It was kind of cool. It was a place you would love to go because there was the cool people there. And now it's just way too corporate, way too involved, way too something you can launch something at.
South by Southwest is not what it used to be.
That's my point, yeah.
I know a lot of people that used to go every single year that stopped like 3 years ago because it wasn't the same event anymore. That, you know, it used to be this thing that was really focused on music. Now it's this whole technology carnival thing. Oh, and then the music happens afterwards.
Right.
It is not the same.
I've never been, so I can't comment, but the coverage just seems to have become very passé. Bronwyn in the chat room says that it's always been passé. But I don't look at the stuff that comes out of South by Southwest and think to myself, it's cutting edge anymore, it's the cool. I think it's the corporate. I think it's like CES in a degree. Is that fair? It's not
it's not like CES.
It's not products based. I understand that, but it's lost its coolness in that sense, like CES.
Oh,
has.
Okay, sure. All right. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, it is so not what it used to be.
Bronwyn says it's just an excuse for a bunch of tech bros to get drunk. That's all.
What's wrong with that?
I'm struggling.
We have a show every Thursday night at 8 o'clock, and Friday night that does that.
Bronwyn tunes in every Thursday night to watch exactly that.
Thursday night?
And then says it's a bad thing. Yeah, no. I that's just lit it back up for me, actually.
I
didn't want to go, but now I go on to go. And see, the thing that struck me as well with the pictures that they put up is that's just planetarium. If you go to the London Planetarium, you lie in a chair that's kind of puts you back at 45 degrees, and you look up, and there's a dome, and when we went, there was a blue screen of death with the full message on in about 8 different locations where they knitted it together, and then they fixed it, and that's all it was. It was a 360 view with about 8 computers that all montaged together for a single image. And it was cool. It was the best thing I'd seen in ages. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience when they got past the blue screen thing. And this thing looks like a version of that, but smaller, which is just, that's old tech. I don't get that. Okay, it's 4K.
The only difference then is probably it's projecting in 4K. Which, other than that, it's the planetarium stuff.
At that distance, you're looking at the picture of the girl, that's how far she is away from the screen. Once she's beyond 8 feet, it doesn't matter whether it's 4K or 1080, she sees the same image.
Yeah.
I'm being really pissy and horrible here. I'm sorry. I don't wish to be, but...
Apologies, because I'm with you.
I think you're right. I'm so not buying into this. I just don't get the technology.
I don't get what it's doing. I don't understand how it works from the story, and I certainly don't understand how it works from the pictures, because it doesn't look like a 360 immersive experience.
Now, Ewan, I think a planetarium is more immersive.
Yeah, the planetarium was great. London Planetarium was awesome. Really awesome. Really enjoyed it. I don't know. There's a proof of concept taking place, perhaps. There's a process that will then lead to another process that will then lead to something that's viable, that will be wow, but it just seems like something to justify your ticket to South by Southwest so you can get pissed with all the other tech bros, unquote. Bronwyn.
It kind of makes me think, if then, on that basis, if this is the best that's... yeah.
You're breaking what? Up. You're breaking
where
up.
Where are they going next?
Are you breaking up camps? Is someone watching Netflix?
No. Let me check. I'll find out
what's going on. That's what you get for drinking that.
Shite.
Horrible, horrible. Good, oh, horrible.
I'm struggling.
I pissed off one of the Kurz Master Brewers once.
There's no such thing, surely.
Well, they have business cards that say that. It doesn't mean they really are.
It's someone who sucks less than a Budweiser brewer.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe. I was at a Christmas event at the Kurz Brewery because it's actually near where I live. And they have a really nice facility for hosting events. So I was at this thing, and they had little stands set up all around. And you go in and just beer. And so they really don't make anything I like. But I thought that I'd try one of, I think it's called Killian's Red. Because that seemed like the least bad of what they offer.
Yeah, we had that here for a while.
Yeah, I took a drink of it, and I'm like, "Oh, the beer's bad." I wasn't saying it like, "Oh, this is a beer that I think is a bad brand." It was like, "This beer has gone bad," and the guy was like, "No, I brewed this," and I'm like, "No, it's bad." So he pours me another sip, I'm like, "No, it's bad," and so he takes a drink. He's like, "It's perfectly fine." And I said, "Oh, well, okay, then that's a real problem with your product now, isn't it?" And he got really pissed off at me. And I haven't been back to a holiday event at the Kurz Brewery since.
Yeah, huh. that would kind of... Mr. Saxon in the chat room says, "Was he... are you sure you didn't read it wrong? And on his card it said, Piss Master?"
I should have looked closer.
And also Muller's put in that Budvar, which is in this country, you can get a Budweiser. It looks like Budweiser in the way that it's written, but it's Budvar Bud. It's Eastern European, and it is fantastic beer. It is really strong and nice.
Yeah, I've heard the I'll do in air quotes, Budweiser that you have in Europe is really good stuff.
No. The Budweiser that we have here that's actually Anheuser Budweiser stuff in with the red label in the UK is shit. It's just the same as you.
Oh, but that's too bad.
But there's a Czechoslovakian beer called Budvar, which looks very similar. And the actual script on the front looks like it reads Budweiser, but it's not Budweiser.
I'll see if I can find that here. Budvar, got it.
Deep Pan mentions Staropramen, which is a very similar type of beer. Very, very good. Love Staropramen. It's very nice.
All right.
It does give you a bit of a headache, however.
I'll call that stropping then.
It's not wife beater like Stella Artois, but...
No, it just makes you stropping.
Excellent. Jeff, have you got a story?
Of course I do. And... here's my story. It's a Google story.
I'm crapping myself. Go on.
So a lot of people got really pissed off yesterday when they asked their Google Home... to tell them what their schedule was for the day, because it rattled off their schedule. It told them the weather like they're used to hearing, gave them a couple top news stories, and then started telling them all about how Beauty and the Beast is opening this weekend. They should go see it. Do they want to learn more about the movie? They were getting an advertisement for a movie mixed in with their Google Home query, and people started flipping out because they felt that that it's completely inappropriate for Google to include ads that are part of personal information queries. And Google came back and said, "That's not an ad. That's just really useful information that we thought you'd like." Well, no, it's actually an ad because Disney paid to have that information included with the queries. And it suggests to people see the movie. Pretty sure that makes it an ad. Anyhow, people are like freaking out over this. And my take is, seriously, you bought a Google product that mines you for data, and then sells that data so that ads can be pushed to you, and you're surprised that ads are showing up on your Google Home.
That's not okay.
No, it's not okay, but it's not surprising in the slightest for me.
No, it's not surprising in the slightest. I've got to say, if I got my Echo gave me information I didn't ask for, okay, it gives me, that's not fair. It gives me information I didn't ask for sometimes because it just doesn't hear me. But if it gave me promoted information, I would send it back to Amazon and say, sorry, mate, keep this. As much as it's nice to set a timer for me tea at 5 minutes, I'm not interested in you selling me shit that I didn't ask for when I pay good money for this item.
Yeah. If I had Alexa set a 5 minute timer for my tea, and at the end of the timer, I got the beep saying my tea was done, along with an ad for timers I could purchase or different teas I might want to try, I would flip out. But if I had bought a Google Home and that happened, I would be really annoyed and totally expecting it.
How much is the Google Hub? Because I haven't looked to buy one because we can't get them.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. It's about £120.
It's like $150.
So $150 to not have control what is sent through to you.
Right. Or I can spend $49 on an Echo Dot and not have to worry about it.
Has anyone checked the T's and C's that come with your purchase or with your item that says whether they should or shouldn't do this or not?
You know, I do not have a Google Home, so I do not have the terms and conditions to look at. I'm betting the EULA says that they can do this very thing.
See, the EULA's only good when you sign up to it, and purchase can't be a signing up to a contract that you haven't seen. So you would have to click on something that says it's okay, which I'm guessing is the app that helps you set Google Home up.
That would make sense.
Maybe, but that's an interesting one. Molly, you said you found a thing from Rory Kefling-Jones where Google Home said that Obama was part of a conspiracy and a coup d'etat.
Yeah, I've just posted it.
A coup d'etat. I mean, we need to play the audio to this because the audio to this is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, well, that's because that's my story.
Yeah, just have a listen to this audio.
Today. Do you want me to play it? Because I've got it on the...
No, hang on. Why is it not playing audio?
Yeah, well,
it's not playing audio. I can edit. Don't worry. Just stand still.
Obama planning a coup.
According to secrets of the Fed, according to details exposed in Western Center for Journalism's exclusive video, not only could Obama be in bed with the communist Chinese, but Obama may in fact be planning a communist...
You fucking, the best bit of that is it says Obama may be planning a coup d-e-t-a-t.
According to secrets of the Fed, according to details exposed in Western Center for Journalism's exclusive video, not only could Obama be in bed with the communist Chinese, but Obama may in fact be planning a communist coup d'etat at the end of his term in 2016.
So Google Home is so well made that it can't understand the phrase coup d'etat at all.
It is French.
Yeah, well,
moving on.
Google Home, what a language device right now.
It could be a name of a JPEG eventually.
But I mean, why? Okay, it means that you can run your Nest. Great, fantastic. But other than that, why would you buy Google Home?
Because you have such a blind hatred for Apple that you're purchasing devices based on the philosophy of anything but Apple.
Okay, don't this is where you lose me, Jeff, because don't start telling me that you wouldn't buy Google Home because of its voice recognition based on Apple. Because I'm sorry, Siri, I saw an article the week that said everyone else is catching up to Apple because of its voice recognition. Is it bollocks?
No, I don't mean that at all.
Good. Thank God for that.
I know a lot of people that purchase products that are not made by Apple, like go to Google and buy an Android phone, because it's not Apple. They have such a hatred for Apple that they will blindly buy other products simply because they don't have the Apple logo.
Mm.
So I could see some people picking up a Google Home because it does not have an Apple logo. Therefore, that's the thing I have to have, which is a really stupid reason to buy something. But no, I cannot justify having a Google Home. I can, when it was first announced, I had like about 3 seconds where I considered getting one so that I could learn about it and talk about it. And I decided that it wasn't worth giving up my soul to try something out for a couple of weeks and then not use it again.
Google sent me a review unit, so I poked him in the eye.
Yeah, I think we talked about it. Was it in the Slack room a few weeks ago, Ewan? And my point then was, you know, I like my Amazon Dot. If Apple produced something and it worked, really importantly, and it worked, then yes, I'd give that a go. But absolutely no way would I want one of the Google devices in my house.
Right, now hang on. Let's just stop right there and let's have a conversation, a sensible adult conversation, which is based on the fact that I love you to bits, Camps, all right, mate? So do not take offence at what I'm about to say. But there is something that bothers me greatly about the Apple ecosphere, in the sense that you have found something which you love dearly, but if Apple did it, you'd buy that instead. That really bothers me.
No.
That's what you've just said.
I've got my Dot, and I like that. If Apple produced a device, I would look at that. I would buy that. Probably.
No.
I would certainly give it a go, and
you're denying the fact that you said it again.
Yeah. I'd give it a go. I would never even consider the Google device.
But you've just said, if I had an Amazon device, which I love, which you have, and Apple did something which was similar, I'd buy that instead.
Instead?
I love you dearly, mate, but that's what I'm bothered about. I just see this thing of the fact that you buy things based on merit, and I can't... I love Apple, don't get me wrong. I've got Macs galore, I've got stuff that's Apple-oriented galore, but when it came down to voice recognition, hands down... the Amazon Echo understands what I'm saying 10 to 1 better than Siri. 10 to 1. Siri is a bag of shit. The only thing that Siri on a desktop understands is when you say, oh, for f***'s sake, and it goes, there's no need to talk like that. Okay, that's going to make it way better. Lecturing in my language is going to make this way better, isn't it, Siri? And I really feel like getting into a punch-up with Siri on a desktop because it's so shit. But you just, hang on, if Apple did something like this, I'd buy Apple shit, regardless of the fact that Siri's a bag of hurt, whether you're talking about whatever platform it's on.
And I did say, and it worked. My underlying point being, I don't mind Amazon hearing what I'm saying, because they're only looking to sell me stuff from the Amazon store,
right,
as far as I know. Apple have got most of my information and most of my data anyway, so what would another device be? But Google, we've talked so many times that you are the product with Google, and I have a real issue with Google potentially listening to stuff that's being said. But I don't the other devices and the other companies. It's probably a trust thing on my part, but I probably trust Amazon and Apple more than I trust Google.
The chat room is jumping to your defence. he didn't say instead. I'm not saying he said instead. It was just the fact of that I love this thing, but if Apple did it, I'd buy that instead. Or I'd buy that as well as. Why you'd have two devices, I don't know. So why they're lecturing me on instead? Shut up, Deep Pan. I'm going to kick you in a minute. Who wants two devices that don't listen to you? Oh, hang on, wait, I've got my wife.
I'm going to say you made one, and I did.
Neither of my kids listen to me, wife doesn't listen to me. voice recognition was better under DOS. It was. I worked at a location, and I'm not kidding you, I'm going back 20 years, 15 years, And they had a process whereby you identified locations on packets when they came through a scanner, and you trained the voice to recognize specific locations, and it was 100% accurate when they'd finished with it. And that's 20 years ago on voice recognition. And here we are, and I ask Siri for the directions to somewhere, and it tells me the films that's on at the local cinema. And it's like, there isn't a word that you could mix up with that. And yet you look at the Echo, and the Echo gets me right 90% of the time.
Alexa, buy 5,000. I have very good luck with my Echo. I do have good luck with Siri. And I think the reason Mueller's just, I have what good did luck you just with whisper? Siri is because Apple did most of their work initially with American accents.
I don't know that it is that. Do you think that Echo is better because it's other accent oriented?
I think the Echo's better because to use an Echo, it trains us the words to use. When we use Siri, we expect it to just understand what we're saying. So I think we are a little more rigid with the words we're using, even when we're not thinking about it, when we talk to an Echo compared to the way we talk to Siri. And that's a problem that Apple needs to address, because we shouldn't have to learn the right words to use to talk to the device. It needs to understand what we say and what we mean.
That's a fair point.
That's where we're headed. But right now, it's just not there. It works a lot better if you have an American accent. I know for a while, if you had an Irish accent, Apple would even tell
Irish
you just don't
Scottish
bother.
Irish and Scottish have traditionally been really poor. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd rather get a Beauty and Beast ad from Siri than sorry, I can't understand what you just asked.
The number of times you ask Siri something and she just says no, nope. You take a Beauty and the Beast ad. Yeah, rather than just ignoring me full stop.
It reminds me of facial recognition. I remember we had a system put in at work, and it was set up on a camera in one of the shopping centres to spot people that maybe wanted walking towards the camera, and it never ever ever worked, and they spent thousands on that. And I'm still, when I see on TV the go back facial recognition, I'm going, I hope it worked better than it did 10 years ago. Because it did not work. I think it was dependent on the photographs you put into it. And I don't think our intelligence people knew what the system was looking for to look for on the camera.
Deep Pan says in the chat room, voice recognition will only improve if it's processed on server side and it learns. Apple and Siri want to keep it on device. And I don't think Siri does. Siri doesn't do on device, does it? Because if you've got no connection, Siri goes, nah, sorry, mate, sod off.
And so does Amazon. And
I think that one of the things I've noticed most about Siri, if I'm in a really good 4G or I'm at home on a strong Wi-Fi connection, I get way better responses from Siri than when I'm at work, where actually my cell connection at work on my device is pretty poor. I certainly don't get 4G, and Siri's really bad out of that. And I definitely see a difference in terms of the responses that I get dependent on signal. Absolutely. It's almost like if you've got a strong signal, you get a better response. If you've got a mid signal, you get a bit of almost a half-assed response. It's I can't find it, but here's some articles on the internet you might want to look at.
Yeah. I think that's even better than I've ever got. I mean, I've got some real shit, and I've been sat in the centre of London with a 4G connection, and it still goes, nope, sorry, here's what's on at the local cinema. It isn't good. Siri is shit, says Deepan. He's changed his tune now, hasn't he? and he's just suggested that actually what he's done there is, he put Siri is shot, though. And he's put down that was Siri. That was me dictating to Siri for the input.
And now he's going to be locked up by the security services.
I don't know. I think voice recognition and VR are kind of like each other in a certain extent, in that we were promised them 30 years ago and we had a base level of them 30 years ago, but they are better, but are they 30 years better? And that's the key part, and they're not. They're not 30 years better. They're not flying car better than they ever were, which they should be by now. And that's what really bothers me.
Do you remember using Dragon Dictate?
Yeah, I used Dragon Speech years ago on Windows, and it was brilliant.
Quite well, yeah.
It was very good. Once you trained it.
Once
you went through the training exercises, it was brilliant.
Particularly as a Brummie, you had a few problems. But I've tried it recently, and it's no better. It just costs more.
See, if you go back to Dragon Dictate, I had Dragon Dictate in the...
I had my that mid-90s.
Yeah, I'd say late 90s for me, late 90s, early 2000s, and it was exceptionally good.
Once you learned how to say certain things and picked up the syntax.
Oh, well, I wrote some handouts at that time for stuff, and I dictated nearly all of those handouts, and it was very accurate. It was no less accurate than it is now, and that was 20 years ago. And that's the problem.
I've seen it used in the accessibility space with partially sighted people, and it's worked fantastically well.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest with you, as a friend of mine who's blind and he uses Google phones, he can't use Apple phones. I said that it's just not good enough, but he can use Google phones Android phones quite well because the...
Dude, the microphone has to be pointed at your mouth.
Sorry. He could use Android phones a lot easier. Android is much better for the partially sighted than it is Apple at the moment.
We've got a few blind listeners.
That's one of the things that's really subjective, because I know a few people that are totally blind that tried Android and switched to iPhone because for them it was markedly better.
Well, he uses the onboard keyboard, finds it much faster than dictating.
Sorry.
We've got a few blind listeners to the podcast, and I went for a beer with one of the guys down in Bristol, Taunton rather, when I was down there working, and he said the Apple accessibility stuff is brilliant, but that was before Siri, so I'd be interested to hear how he
the people that I know that are using phones that are totally blind, they love using Siri, they find the accessibility features just overall to be fantastic. But, you know, it's subjective. So, of course, there's going to be some people that think the iPhone is better for that, and other people are going to think Android phones are better for that.
He does prefer plain Android. He doesn't prefer the skinned ones. So it has to be a Nexus Google's own.
Yeah, no, I mean, the one thing that Darren said to me was that Apple is significantly better than everyone else at the accessibility globally. So for all of the people who are suffering with challenges getting into their device and using their device, Apple is streets ahead. And that was going back a few years, and I think they're probably still streets ahead as a global approach rather than a specific approach, but it doesn't change the fact that Siri's shit. Muller, what's your story, mate? You're the last one.
I had to change mine because Jeff nicked mine.
Well, Jeff didn't kind of nick yours. That.
Well, mine is that it's not posting now.
It's not posting. Come on.
Ah, let me go back to it.
Maybe you should be using an iPad Pro.
Oh,
he is. He's using a 9.7 iPad Pro badly. So
It's operator error. I did actually post it, hold on. Yeah,
did you send it to me?
No, because I've had to find a new one because... I think I've...
Because of me.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Well, this is good airtime, chaps. You're filling it well. Well done.
Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm having to think on my feet here. Maybe it's, you know...
I think we should go back to the Mankini discussion.
No.
Real time
It's not a link, dude. That's you printing text again.
Hold on, it's disappeared. It's not pasting for some reason. Anyway, it's Amazon's a new compare feature. We'll judge your clothing for you, and I'll try and post it into Slack for you. Because it's not posted.
Says the bloke in the Guardian of the Galaxy t-shirt from...
Oh, man. Anyway, it's a Verge story, and I'll try and post it into Slack for you. And you can pick it up from there. And it's going in now. So Amazon's new outfit compare feature would judge your clothing for you. So basically, you stand in front of the camera, wear your clothes, and it'll give you a tick or not. This is a rush one. I had to pick one quick.
And what did it say to your attire today, Muller?
Well, it would have said top notch.
Come on, then. You got to chump it.
So that first picture, is it judging the way you're standing?
Well,
I'm trying to get the picture up, by the way.
Oh, it did paste in then. Or did you just find it from my from looking at my?
So the first picture for people that are listening and not watching is that there's a guy wearing exactly the same stuff, and he's got the shirt done up in the first one. And opening the second one, he's slouching a bit. He's got his shoes off as well, admittedly. So clearly this is a safety thing, because the application is telling him not to go out without shoes on because he might get something in his feet.
Yeah, but it's each outfit is get scored on the style scale. So you get done on the style scale. That's hard to say.
Well, there's a tick or a nothing, isn't there? So if he's got a tick on the left, it's saying you're good to go.
And it's ranked on, definitely pick this up, or two, we like this better. It was a close call. So there is actually three different scales. It's not as black and white as that picture says.
And is it any good, or are the results shit?
I think that's subjective, don't you? Well, it says actually in the article the outfits compare held up pretty well when tested.
By who?
Yeah, exactly. I'd have to say that looking at what he's wearing, it's pretty bland really, so God knows. As I say, they've got another picture a bit further down. They've got shall we say, a man with darker skin wearing a suit with a tie. And he's got a tick. And there's a white guy who's got the same suit on without a tie, and he's only got a little bit of a tick.
And for me, that's purely about the lighting of the two images. The fact that the guy on the left's got a load of crap all over his bedroom floor. The guy on the right is on some sort of movie red carpet without the red carpet.
Yeah, looks like a film star, doesn't he? But
it's Ryan Gosling, so everything looks better on him.
Yeah.
Including you.
Ryan Gosling's hot, mate. I'd shag Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. There you go.
No, I would. He's hot. My wife would join me.
I mean, Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. If you have the opportunity to tap Ryan Gosling, go for it.
Yeah, but
I'm not saying that out loud.
This app is basically to sell you clothes. It's not going to tell you the truth. It's going to say everything's good. That's brilliant, mate. Buy it.
You think?
Come on.
Everything's rubbish. Maybe you could buy this
more
instead.
Expensive one. Yeah. Yeah.
So now this is tucked away in the Amazon app somewhere.
It's an Amazon thing.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find it in the Amazon app right now so that I can
test it.
Have it tell me how horrible my fashion sense is.
Each outfit is scored on a star scale given from ranking them. Definitely pick this one too. We like this better.
That's what it says on it.
The production values are awesome.
You might hear a bit of tinkling.
It's hidden on the menus, programs and features, outfit compare.
Oh, okay.
Jeff.
So,
For me, this is adder.
Programs and features.
It's borderline clickbait, this.
Outfit compare.
Yeah. It's unclear what it says on the article. It's unclear what Amazon gets out of this. Well, I think it's quite clear. They get sales, but there you go.
All right. I'm looking in my photo library to see what I have of me.
It's iOS, according to this. It's a new feature rolled out to iOS users.
Yeah, I'm looking at it on my iPhone right now. Oh, man. If I had a naked selfie in here,
two naked selfies and see which yep. way we're wearing it best.
Jeff, but if it said you need to iron it, would
then you just take it in.
No. You put it on and it goes, no, go wear the longer top.
He says here, I'm reading a different TechCrunch article, and it says here, a minute later you'll get a response from an Amazon stylist who'll tell you which outfit looks better than you, looks better on you. Really? An Amazon stylist, more like an algorithm.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's got a bit of a way to go, hasn't it?
Your clothes and background are similar.
I just said it to selfies, which are totally worthless because it's me from, you know, like halfway up my chest, and that's it.
So what's it say?
It's comparing me.
And come on, Jeffrey, tell us the truth.
You need a 36D.
It's in progress still.
Come on.
Gee, minutely. If it takes this long to figure out what I need to wear.
The Amazon stylist, maybe she's got the kettle on. Or he.
It can't compare my outfits.
Oh, what?
It's got to be full length, I bet.
It says, we could not complete your outfit comparison.
Because you got no pants on.
Oh, and okay, now it says, make sure your images are head to toe.
So they're not.
Yeah, you need to be full scale.
Okay. So.
All right. Yeah, I mean, they're definitely not head to toe. Just whatever I could find real quick in my photo album.
I'll try this.
All right, I'll play with that later.
Is Amazon setting up a personal shopper service, maybe?
Really good point.
Says Deep.
I could totally see that happening.
They sell clothes. That could work.
That's what it's all it's about, isn't it? It's not about making it about anything else, really, other than saying, buy some clothes.
Yeah, but, and I think that's it. You know, the outfit on the left would look better if you had a white shirt. Here is a link to some white shirts.
Yeah.
That's where this is going to go, in my view.
There's no way a computer
Well, Amazon's goal is to sell us stuff. So
absolutely.
Giving us tools that make it easier to sell things, that of course they're going to do that. And if those tools can give us some other benefit that make us want to continue using Amazon services, well, there you go.
Good point.
The thing is, does it take into consideration different countries? Because what works in America doesn't work in Europe. We have got different styles, haven't we? Don't you think?
Yep.
Absolutely. And I don't think it's happy for any of us sat on this panel right now.
Certainly wouldn't
because
fit me.
None of us give a shit.
Yeah, people should just be glad I have clothes on when I go outside.
Sax in the chat room says he's got a new app idea, which is it's called Does My Bum Look Big in This? Which is based on this algorithm and basically shouts, for Christ's sake, don't. There's an output from it.
I've got a question. Could Jeff stand up or is he that not allowed?
Well, we haven't got an explicit tag, so no, he can't stand up.
Do you want me to show you something?
Oh, man, that's a phrase that you could leave in a bar. Go on. What do you want to show us, mate?
He's got Star Wars pants on.
Jeff, what have you got for us?
Do you want to see what I've got?
Wait. Oh, no. You normally pay $10 an hour for that.
That's right.
Deep Pan's added on to Mr. Sax app, and he said, does my bum look big in this? I don't know. You need to back up a bit. That's crucial. I had a really good story that I'd favourited in Twitter, and it's not favourited. I can't find the sodding thing. I've got my cool thing, but I haven't got the story.
Yeah, I'm looking for my cool thing.
Oh, bugger. So we're going to have to stop. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're awesome. Please check them out. Please support them, because they will be with us for the till BTN disappears forever. They will be looking after us. They host all of our server space. There's like 3 terabytes of crap up there that we've made over the years, right back through to the Bageltech days. They give us the server, they give us the bandwidth to host it, they give us the domain names, they give us the live server, which is a different server entirely, which gives us the NQL channel. They've given us SSL certificates this week, so we are secure as a site. How good's that? Apparently it's really good. But
that's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome. We are now a secure site throughout the entire Schwing-a-ding-ding. And thanks to Anders for sorting that out for us this week, and for Righty for giving us a load of grief until we did it. No, he did. He was right.
He was really right.
Righty was right.
Yeah, no, he was, because he kept going on about it. I'm like, oh, God, give over, right? We'll do what we can when we can. He went, but we've got people's email addresses. And I'm like, oh, yeah, good, okay, good point. So then we did it. So well done, Righty, for pushing us on that one. If you want anything for the web, check out UK2. And in April, I am going to the eyewear show at the NEC, and I will be seeing the Uniku machine from Hoya for the first time. I will be scanned. I will be fitted. This Uniku is brilliant. It's this process that Hoya have come up with whereby they scan your face and you pick the frames that you like. And then they squeeze the frames around so that they fit as you want and how you like the look of them and that kind of stuff. And then they make sure that they tilt the mounts and supports to the exact angle for your face, for your lenses. Then they manufacture the lenses, put them in the frames, and it is a unique set of glasses that is for you. They don't work for anyone else. They work just for you. Not only is the prescription right, but the frame is correct to hold them in exactly the right position. I'm so looking forward to going for this. I can't tell you, I've been excited since Christmas for this, and I've been really gutted that I haven't get to go. If you want the other lenses, the Avantech lenses, which I'm wearing, then you can still go and get the top loaders and all that kind of stuff. Send an email to podcast@hoya.co.uk, and they will give you the BTN treatment, as Mark calls it. You will get the very best of the very best. And thanks to Dan Rodriguez this week, who wrote in an email saying, what do I need to do to get the very best of the very best? We pushed him off. Do Hoya need to put it off till they build a bigger machine for me, you tosser? Thank you. No, they don't.
Ewan, I'm going to dig it out, because it's great when you sort of describe it each week. But cool. There's a great YouTube video that Hoya have put out about the Uniku. So I'm going to find it. I'll put the link in the chat room about this, because it sort of, you can, if people watch it, you can visualize exactly what you've just described.
It is. It's brilliant. And it carves it out of... it's like a 3D printer, but it's not like a 3D printer, because it only lays down what it needs. And then it chips stuff away until the frame is there. It's I can't remember what the process is called. John did say when he was here with Mark a few months back. But it's a unique thing. It is all you.
I'm jealous you're going to see it. It does look really, really clever.
It's awesome. It's really, really awesome. I can't wait to see it. I really can't. And I'm going to have a beer and a curry with the guys one night. So that's even better. All the Hoya crew. So I'm looking forward to that just as much. Well, okay, maybe I'm not. I'm looking for the glasses more. cool. Right. Here we go. It's time for the cool things. Start us off, Monsieur Campion.
Okay, I've got an iOS game. It's free. It has got an in-app purchase of £2, but that's purely to remove some ads, which, from what I've seen so far, have not been overly annoying. So at this point in time, I've not shelled the £2 on it, but might do, just because I like the game. It's called Golf Zero. I think I'd probably describe it as a little bit Mario with a little bit crazy golf, in that you, a bit of a platform, jump around, jump from tower to tower. The idea being, you've got a golf ball and a stick in your hand, and you've got a hole to put into. But the hole might be on top of a tower. You need to jump from one tower to another, and whilst you're jumping, you can essentially engage the, let's call it the golf bit, and whack the ball and try and flick it up into the hole. Have a look at the link I've put in the chat room. There's a little video on there. It's one of the most frustrating, but in a good way, morning motion games that I've played. I've really got into it over the last couple of weeks and enjoy playing it, and it's free.
So you've got a couple of minutes where you can spare to get this thing going, and then after you've got yourself going, you can stop.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Excellent,
that's the aim of the morning motion.
Superb. Like that a lot. Excellent. Jeffrey, what do you have for us, mate?
I have, it's called Nemuno Loops.
I saw this tweet and I was instantly, I gotta close this tweet because otherwise I'm going to be bankrupt.
Yeah, this is one of those things that several people sent me links to. And
yes,
I've actually bought it. So I can't wait for mine to show up. It's Lego brick compatible tape. So it has the Lego studs on the top. So it's two studs wide, and adhesive on the back, and so you can cut the tape to different lengths. You can stick it down on something, pull it up, stick it on something else. It comes in a bunch of different colors, and if you're concerned about whether or not they're going to reach their funding goal, which was $8,000 on Indiegogo, they are now 13,917% overfunded.
Yeah.
Seriously.
1.1 million against an 8,000 target.
I tweeted, when I saw this the other day, I tweeted, why didn't I think of this? Everybody who sees this must be thinking, this is obvious, why didn't we think of this? It's an awesome idea.
Lego dropped out of copyright, didn't they, about 5 years ago?
Yeah.
That was the key. They lost their copyright on the pattern. Because they had a massive dispute. Was it with Playmobil or was it with Mega Bloks or something?
It's probably Mega Bloks.
Yeah, they had a massive dispute over intellectual property for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden, the IP just lapsed. They'd gone past the 65 or 75 year thing.
Well, I played with Lego as a kid, so it's got to be 50. So
it's got to be 150 years right away. Yeah. There, yeah.
So, it's called Lego.
So your Lego bricks are made from like actual bricks.
Well, kudos to Jeffrey. I did notice in his tweet he didn't put an S on Lego.
Oh, yeah.
Well done.
That's because I understand Lego is a brand, and they make these bricks that you can build with.
Did you guys see the Lego slippers?
Yes.
I did see the Lego slippers.
I just got a thing.
Is that real?
Right. So they're sat in the middle of Daneland, right? And they're sitting there going, what should we do as an accessory for Lego? And someone's coming up with figures, and why don't we talk to Star Wars, and why don't we talk to Cars, because Cars is doing a new Cars thing. And someone went, everyone complains about stepping on Lego. Why don't we just come up with some slippers that are Lego resistant? And everyone's just like, the room's just shrunk back and gone, because they realized they've missed out on billions and billions of dollars of income from that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good pick, mate. Good pick. So the Nemuno Loop toy brick tape, and it's not Lego tape; it's toy brick tape. Make sure,
right?
You're
because
real.
Because they don't want to get the copyright hammer from
you
Lego.
You can make shit that looks like Lego, but you can't make Lego.
Could you lay a load of it down on a floor to make that sort of Lego feeling as you walk across the room?
Why would you do that?
I'm just saying, if you've got your Lego slippers, you can just lay a whole, so your living room carpet, replace it with Lego tape.
No, dude, the Lego stops you feeling like you're walking on Lego. The Lego slippers stop you feeling like you're walking.
Oh my God, did you think they were slippers so it would feel like you always were stepping on Lego? That's awesome.
No, that would be a good idea.
Oh man, I let a f*** into my life.
Timestamp.
Oh man. Ian, pick something for us, mate.
Yeah, not terribly exciting, but I've got an iPad case. So my iPad doesn't normally leave home, but coming to the photography show, I wanted to make some notes and stuff. So, and also my Apple Pencil has mostly lived in the Apple box since I bought it. it hasn't had a lot of use. So
let me just cut to the video because you're going to hold it up for us. Go on. Oh, it takes the pencil as well.
Yeah, and it does. It holds it in there nicely. It's iVapo, the maker.
Can't believe you let Muller hold it.
My glamorous assistant. It was only $19.99.
Glamorous wasn't the word I was looking for, but okay.
It is on Prime. Sorry.
It's on Prime, and it's 20 quid.
Yeah, so it's nothing. It does add quite a bit of bulk to the iPad, but at least it does feel that it does give it some protection.
That's all right.
For me, any case that's going to protect the iPad is going to have to add at least a little bit of bulk to it.
But for the price, it's really good.
That's me, 20 quid lighter then.
Yeah.
It's cheaper than this one, it's £100.
Oh, the Apple ones are shit.
I'm just looking if they do a 9.7-inch version of that.
I've got an iPad cover for my iPad Pro. And it's significantly better than the Apple one that I bought that I took back because it fell over on the train.
These are repeatedly. Nice, but they're about £100. That's about 50 quid, and that's 50 quid. So it's
but it doesn't feel like the pencil is going to fall out, but it's easy to pop it out as well.
It did take me a little bit of effort
to
get it out.
Do you remember that I lost my pencil, my Apple pencil, a while ago? And I lost it in a Mont Blanc leather case. And which really gutted me because the Mont Blanc leather case that I put it in to keep it safe was actually worth more than the pencil. I found it. So I now have two pencils and I have my Mont Blanc leather case back. So I'm over the moon.
So happy ending.
Yeah, yeah. No, £79, not a happy ending. So it's okay. Have you got a cool thing, Muller? Are you going to post it or not?
Okay. Just post it. I can show you, though.
Plenty of warning then. Go on.
It's my Milanese watch strap for my Withings.
Right.
One of the problems I had in my original
that watch was a strap. Big strap, though, wasn't it?
Well, this one.
No, the Milanese strap. The original Withings strap was a long strap because it fitted me dead easy.
Oh yeah, this one does as well. I mean, you got it over your fist, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
And it also comes completely out and lies flat if you need to. But what I did find with the original Withings strap, although it's nice, it got a bit sweaty, and I suffer from eczema, so I had to keep putting it on the other wrist. But since I bought this Milanese one, I've not had any of those sort of issues, so it's quite good. So if you've got a Withings, I certainly would say go for this. I could leave this on 24 hours, 24/7, 7 days a week. Not an issue. Don't get sweaty.
Excellent. The Milanese loop was lovely, I have to say. It doesn't catch your arm hair or anything like that. It really is a nice band to have on the watch. It just didn't fit me when I had the Apple Watch.
Well, the good thing about this one is it will come out completely, so you can actually put it on. I don't really want to do it, actually, but you can actually get it out of there with a little bit of fiddle.
Jesus, Ian's got a better mic technique for you than you have.
Anyway, I'm not going to do it, but you can get it out and lie completely flat and put it on. But yeah, it's quite easily goes over my big mushy things, my ham fist.
Over your big mushy things.
I don't know the word in mind. I had to change it quick.
Big mushy things.
Yeah.
There's your show title.
I really hope not. I think you come up with better than that, Christ. Now, my cool thing. Do you remember Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Mm.
How many people love Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Would you have liked to have watched it as a two-hour movie? Or two-and-a-half-hour movie?
Yeah.
That would be cool, wouldn't it? All the main bits, all of the detritus that you had to go through, the Basil exposition bit in the middle that wasn't good enough. Well, I've just put a link in the chat room that takes you to a place that's got all 62 episodes in a 127-minute long film.
We've got Sorry It Doesn't Exist.
Right, so here's the thing. You've got Sorry It Doesn't Exist because the people that made Breaking Bad have had it taken down. I downloaded it before they did. So if you'd like a copy of it, then you can send me an email and we'll sort it out, maybe. Because I downloaded it for my own use. And I'm sure there's not going to be a legal case that follows this. So because I'm not actually going to send it to anyone.
So we leave that.
So there you go.
Yeah, but I just thought it was interesting that they did it, and I wanted to highlight the fact that someone did that and that it was awesome.
Did you watch it?
I've watched half of it. And actually, I thought the pace would be really shit, because how do you take 62 hours and shove it into 127 minutes? But actually, the pace of it's not bad. It's pretty good. So there you go. I have watched it, and it's well worth doing. I'm sure there are copies that exist around the net that you could lay your hands on, if you know what I mean.
That's pretty cool.
Where can we get a hold of you, Monsieur Campion?
I'm Campion UK on Twitter. I'm normally loitering around in the Slack room and here on the Big Show every week. Oh, and I write some reviews. Me writing Mac Jim and Muller and a few others are writing reviews on britishtechnetwork.com/review. So have a look and give us some feedback. Love some feedback on them.
Excellent, mate. Mr. Sachs does say in the chat room, I'm sure that there's places in Sweden where you could get this. Good tip. The other cool thing I was going to do, actually, I didn't post this, and it was a toss-up, but this was, if you follow the @crazyglobe, global Twitter account, there's a guy in Perth who cycled 200 kilometres so that he could draw a goat on his Strava app. And I got to say, when it comes down to people I admire, he is significantly up there. He is an awesome
that
chap.
That is awesome.
There we go. There is a picture of the goat that he drew around Whiterun Park, the John Forest National Park, the Beeloo National Park, and Perth and Fremantle.
Who knew doing a goat would cost you 5,408 calories?
Yeah, that's good. That's pretty good. Yeah. 200 kilometres of cycling to do a goat.
That's
to
right
do
there.
A goat.
Why am I surprised? Swamp Rat says Breaking Bad is not anything I subscribe to. It's because it's not on anymore. I think you can get the. Can you still get it all on Netflix? It's still all on.
I think it's all on Netflix.
Yeah. I got it on iTunes. I don't know.
It might be on Amazon Prime also.
I'm not sure.
Mr. Sachs says it only cost me a tenner to the right farmer. I'm a bit. I know they do. They have some strange practices in Scotland, but I'm not sure what that means.
I think it's just where
Wellington's. Don't judge.
Yeah. Drop the legs of the goat down the back of the Wellington so it doesn't run away.
So they outrun you.
What, and miss out on all the kissing? You're joking.
That's an old joke, isn't it?
Oh, that was awesome.
Jeffrey, where are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm in a totally new space now where I'm learning about goats, apparently. I'm over at macobserver.com, and I'm on a bunch of podcasts like Mac Observer's Daily Observations, Apple
Content. No, don't do that. Jeffrey, just go through the ones you're not on. That'll be quicker. You're not on Twit. You're not on
News Show. I'm not on Twit.
Not on Daily Tech News Show. Not on
Photo Show.
That's it.
About it.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Okay, there
it's
we
done.
Go.
Three.
All right. So, but I am on Twitter. I'm Jay Gamut there. Same thing on Instagram.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much for coming along. Where are you, Ian?
Ian L Photography on Twitter. And the next 2 days I'll be in Birmingham at the NEC.
You're not going to get 2 days out of that, mate.
Ah.
I promise you, Sunday morning you were going, I wish I'd gone to Comic-Con. I promise.
Oh, if you have an opportunity to go to a Comic-Con, you should.
I'm at Comic-Con tomorrow.
Oh, you're going to have so fun.
No, it's in Birmingham. So tomorrow is Comic-Con in Birmingham, and it's at the same time as the photography show at the NEC. I'll be at Comic-Con, so if you're there dressed in cosplay, stay away from me. I don't want to talk to you. Jesus. No, there's loads of people in fancy dress at the what was all linked to the gamer show type thing, Eurogamer. That was brilliant. There was tons of people in cosplay, and it was brilliant. Really, really good. So you'll be there on Sunday, I promise you. Yeah, you won't get 2 days out of the photography show, Jesus. Your wife's giving you 2 days away, mate. See the positive.
That's true.
Yeah,
three nights away from the kids.
Come back tomorrow night and have a curry with us and have a beer. Again. Muller, where are you, mate?
I'm Muller Biker, and I'm going to try and hide your tick costume for the if you visit the NAC tomorrow.
My what costume?
The tick.
What tick?
You're going as the tick.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going as the tick.
I want to see that.
Yeah, well, Ewan's going as the tick.
That would just be...
He was going to... He told you he's wearing green tonight. His tick costume, he couldn't...
I'm not wearing... I'm not wearing green. No, I'm wearing faded red, not pink.
Yeah, but because it wasn't to wear your tick costume, weren't you? So you disappeared into the background.
Into the background, yeah. I was going to disappear entirely. So it was St. Patrick's Day. I wore green, and there was just going to be me.
Yeah.
So that's it. That, you ruined that, though, because it didn't work.
Basically, yeah. And go. I'll see them all walking through town tomorrow when I'm drunk. They always come through town.
My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can also get us at British Tech on Twitter. The Fantasy Photo League is still going. Ian Lewis is currently leading at the moment, but it's incredibly close. Anders is second and Bob's third. So there's plenty to play for. You don't have to not be in. Camps is in there as well. He's in the mix halfway up the table. If you think creatively, you will score points. It's been obvious that that's the case. This month's topic is Construct. So if you want to send us your picture, just email the picture straight over to britishchatnetwork@gmail.com and we'll enter you in the competition, and you might score points. There is still enough points available for you to come into the top five if you only enter this month. So you can certainly do really, really well. The goal of this is to get everyone to be a really, really, really good photographer who enters. So. A good constructive feedback, I hope, from me, and creative processes from you, and you will do that, so give it a go. We're not back again next week. Righty's taking over potentially for the big show, and I'll be back the following week. So that's it, simple as that. Have a great weekend, enjoy your week, and see you soon. Thanks for listening.